How many of you are card fans? You love to play cards, okay? Awesome. I need one volunteer as we get ready right here. This young man right here. No, you sit down. You're a Bills fan. Sit down. Nobody. No, I'm just kidding. Come on. I'm just kidding you. No, stay right here. Just stay right here on the ground in front of me, okay? And I'm going to show you an interesting trick, everyone. So if you would pick any card, I don't care whichever, not that one, but any card you want right there. Okay, now you show the audience what your card is. Okay, don't show me. Don't show me. You just show the audience. Go ahead and show it on all the, go over here. Go all the way over the side over here so everybody sees it. Over on this side over here. Everybody see the card? Okay, good. Here, hand it to me. I don't want to see the card. Okay, I don't want to see the card. Okay, go ahead and have a seat. Thank you for my guest. Let's give him a hand. Thank you. Okay. Your card was a six of clubs, right? Okay, good, good. Today we're going to be talking about disappointment, okay? See, some of you are thinking I actually got to do a trick, didn't you? Yeah, this is the trick right here. Six of clubs. That's the case. And because here's what I believe is that I think some of us in the room, quite honestly, have been dealt a hand. And part of the thing that we realize with the hand that we've been dealt, it's been filled with all kinds of disappointment. And some of you in the room today are here, and part of the deal is that you live your life surrounded with this kind of disappointment in your world. And you're just like, man, I'm telling you, because here's the thing. You didn't get to pick who your biological mom and dad was. Nobody got to pick that. And because of it, many of us in the room can go back through and say, man, if you knew the horrible life that I've had to live, the difficulty, the disappointment that is the centerpiece of my life. Matter of fact, let me give you an example of this kind of disappointment. I know some of you are dog people, so you'll love this. Here's a disappointed dog. So let's see the video together.
You know, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I went to the fridge and I opened up the meat drawer. You know what the meat drawer is, right?
Yeah. What was in there?
Well, I'll tell you what was in there. You know that bacon that's like maple? It's got maple flavor.
The maple kind, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I took that out and I thought,
yeah,
I know who would like that. Me. So I ate it.
Oh, no. You're kidding me.
Nope. Not kidding. You know, I also noticed there was some beef in there. Yeah, you know, steak, you know, juicy. Well, I ate that too. But I went back to the fridge just a few minutes ago, and I put something together really special. You're going to love this one. I took some chicken.
Yeah.
I put some cheese on it, and I covered it with...
Covered it with what?
I covered it with cat treats.
Yeah.
Then guess what?
What?
I gave it to the cat.
You feel like that dog, don't you? See, here's the thing, is that somewhere along the way, you thought that life was going to be fair, you thought life was going to be perfect, that life was going to be good, and the problem is, you were dealt a group of cards, and the cards that you were dealt all had to do with disappointment. And you know exactly how that dog feels. Because many times in your life, you've been set up. You thought, this is the one, this is my big break, this will be the moment that I will change everything in my world, and it only left you hurt and broken, and most of all, disappointed. Today I'm going to tell a story, a very popular Bible story, but in this Bible story, we're going to talk about how we're dealt a hand, and an individual in our Bible story was dealt a hand that has some similarities to your hand. And here's what happened. We'll start the story with his dad, a fellow by the name of Jacob. You see, Jacob one day got to a point where he was ready to marry a wife, and Jacob's dad said to him, I want you to go back to our hometown, and I want you to find your uncle, and he'll help you find somebody that you can marry. And so Jacob goes back to his hometown. He shows up there, and he meets his uncle, and he falls madly in love with his cousin, okay? And so here's the thing, because some of you, disappointment isn't the hand you're dealt with. It is dysfunction, right? And so Jacob falls madly in love with this gal named Rachel. And so the uncle of Jacob says to him, here's the deal. You're going to have to work 7 years to be able to marry my daughter. And so Jacob says, okay, sure, I'll work 7 years. And then here's what happens. And you think your situation's dysfunctional. 7 years later, it's wedding night. It's late in the evening. And so there he is, Jacob. He's thinking, oh, this is going to be great. He goes in to consummate the wedding. And he wakes up the next morning. And to his surprise, his uncle didn't give him Rachel. He slipped his other daughter, Leah, in. And so he married the wrong woman. Now, I don't know about you. I have two daughters, but you do not slip the wrong daughter in on this. But here's the reason why. Because the Bible says in the book of Genesis about Leah, it says this, there was no sparkle in Leah's eyes, but Rachel had a beautiful figure and a lovely face. This is the Old Testament version of Leah had a great personality. Right? Man, you talk about dysfunction. Not only are we dealing with a guy who had to marry his cousin, but he married the wrong cousin, and then he goes back, works 7 more years, and after 7 years, then finally his uncle gives him the one that he loved, Rachel, the one with the beautiful figure and a lovely face. And here's the thing, it's kind of like a country song, because this is what happened. It says, Jacob worked 7 years to pay for Rachel, but his love for her was so strong that it only seemed like a few days. Everybody, a little, that's so sweet. He now has sister wives. Dysfunction. And you want to talk about dysfunction? It starts there, because Jacob then begins to be with these two ladies, and in the course of it, Leah gives him a bunch of sons, and Rachel gets very jealous. So Rachel has this maid, this handmaiden that takes care of her, and Rachel decides, here's the deal: I'll give my handmaiden to my husband, and he'll take her as a wife, and then he'll have some kids from her. And so now Jacob has three wives, and then Leah gets upset, and she gets in on the action and says, I'll give him my handmaiden. And so now you think your family was dysfunctional? Jacob has four wives, and with those four wives has 13 kids. Man, you talk about dysfunction. This is incredible. But it doesn't stop there. Because what happens is eventually Rachel, the one that he loves, produces a son, and his name is Joseph. And this is where the story starts to take off. Because Joseph is raised up, and Jacob loved Joseph more than the other brothers and sisters. Show of hands if you know that your brother and sister is your mom and dad's favorite. Show of hands. Some of you, you know that, right? Okay. Yeah, for those of you who don't have your hands up in the air, guess who you are, right? That's your mom and dad's favorite, right? And so this was so bad that for Jacob, here's what he does. He says, you know what, Joseph, you're my favorite, so I'm going to give you this bright technicolor dream coat that you get to wear everywhere you go. And Jacob, and so Joseph is wearing this thing around his brothers all the time. I mean, you can walk in, and his brothers are all wearing like black and gray and off-white, right? And here comes Joseph, you know, hey, look at my coat. Ooh, I'm cool. I'm trendy like this, right? And so there's this frustration that happens. And then to make matters worse, Joseph starts having these dreams. And then, because you know that if somebody's the favorite in your family, they don't know when to shut up, do they? And Joseph didn't. So he tells his brothers, I had these dreams, and in these dreams, you all bow down to me. That is not a way to win friends and influence people, is it? And his brothers became very, 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 very angry. One day, Joseph goes out to help his brothers out, and his brothers are so ticked off at him that they say, you know what, we're going to kill our brother Joseph. Talk about dysfunction. Now, some of you get mad at your siblings, and you're like, I would love to kill you, but you don't really go that far, do you? And so here's what happens. They throw him in a cistern. And they throw him into this deep well, and they're thinking, okay, this will be fine. And then they feel sorry for him. And then what happens is this. You're going to experience another one that many of you have experienced, and that's the card of rejection. Rejection, right? You get this card here, and some of us have received this card in our life, and whenever we've received this card of rejection in our world, we go through and we think, hey, this is great. In the case of Joseph, here was his card of rejection. His brothers threw him into a well, and not only did they throw him into a well, but then they feel bad, and they're like, okay, here's the deal. And then there's some people that are passing by, and they're like, here's the best thing we can do. We can't, thank you, Sierra. Thank you. My lovely assistant, my daughter, Sierra. Thank you. And so here's the best thing that we can do is what we'll do is we'll sell them into slavery, right? I mean, some of us are going, I've had this idea. Okay, here's what the scripture says about this. It says that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children. Joseph had been with him since an old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift, a beautiful robe. And then the next thing that he says is this. Meanwhile, the Midianite traders arrived in Egypt and they sold Joseph to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Potiphar was captain of the palace guard. Now he's sold into slavery. Talk about rejection. Here he is. He has gone through the disappointment. He's gone through dysfunction in his family. I mean, his mom is really his dad's cousin. I mean, how does that thing work out? And then here, all of a sudden, he's rejected by the very family he's a part of. And then he's sent off to a foreign land. And here's where the story becomes very interesting. And the reason behind this is because in most of us in our world, we've been dealt this kind of a hand. And you can go back to your life and figure out some of this stuff. But even in the middle of being dealt this kind of a hand, while we may have been dealt a hand that's filled with bad choices and bad ideas, here's the best part about it is for us to know this, that God is with us. God is with us. You see, this is where many of us make a mistake. Because many of us in the room go back to disappointment, go back to dysfunction in our family, go back to rejection. And the problem for us in those moments is that we see these things and say, God, where are you? God, why aren't you a part of my life? God, why would you give me my parents? God, why would you put me in this family? God, why would you give me this job? Because you knew it was going to be a dead end. God, why would you give me these kids? Why would you give me this situation? Why would you put me here right now? And many of us have had this happen and we go back and say, Lord, if you, the dysfunction in my family is off the chart, and God, these people reject me over and over and over again. And here's the thing about it. The thing about it is that God is with us. And this phrase that God is with us happens again and again. And Joseph ends up in Potiphar's house. And here's what the scripture says about this. Two verses. The first one is this. The Lord was with Joseph so that he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of the Egyptian master. The Lord was with Joseph. Even Potiphar noticed this. I mean, even Potiphar saw this. The next verse, he says this about him in Genesis 39. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, and he gave him success in everything that he did. And this pleased Potiphar, and so soon he made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything that he owned. So all of a sudden, Joseph went from being a slave to being the number two guy in this guy's house, even though he'd been dealt this kind of a hand. But he knew that God was with him. And here's the challenge today. I want to give you this challenge as we go through this. The challenge is simply this. If you believe that God is ultimately in charge of your cards, and he is, whether you believe that or not, he's in charge of your cards, it should change the way you play them. See, here's the problem, is that we may know that God's in charge of our cards, but it does not change the way we play them, because many of us in the room have disappointment, dysfunction, and rejection, and because of that, we decide that we're going to play the cards because we say, you know what, I deserve one here. And here's what happened with Joseph. He continued on with his life and was going through. He was a great leader in the home. Potiphar knew that things were going very well for him. And then what happened was, is that after all of these things that God had done and that God was in charge and some good things happened, then all of a sudden Joseph is dealt the joker. Right? You know what this means. This is the wild card. This is where you get a chance to have to do whatever it is that you want, where God says, hey, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a decision. And so here's what happens to Joseph in the wild card moment. There's Potiphar's wife. Her name is Mrs. Potiphar. and she thinks Joseph is a hunk of burning love. And so she decides, I think I need to be with this guy. And so she starts to try to figure out ways to seduce Joseph. And so she comes on to him, and Joseph says, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't want to mess with this. As a matter of fact, here's what Joseph says about this situation whenever she comes on to him. Joseph says this in the book of Genesis. He says, how could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. I love this because how Joseph plays his wild card is that for Joseph, he realized, he didn't say, hey, guess what? I'm saving myself for marriage, or hey, you're not really my type. Joseph looks at her and he takes it back to God and he says, look, I've got a standard. I have a set of morals. I got a set of things that I believe in. And why in the world would I want to fall in love with you? Why in the world would I want to even sleep with you whenever God says it's not right and I don't want to do it? And here's the best part. This is how Joseph played his wild card. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. You wouldn't say it out loud, but it's in the back of your mind. Man, if that was me, and there was a beautiful woman that was coming after me, I'd be thinking, I've had enough disappointment in my life. I've had enough dysfunction and rejection in my life. I deserve one. And here's the best part about Joseph is that he realized in those moments that he was willing to do what he needed to do to stay in focus with God. Because here's the problem that some of us do is we take our wild card and we say, look, I'm going to do what I want to do to get accomplished what I want to get accomplished. It's like the picture that I want to show you right now of an individual that decided, I'm putting the boat in the water and I don't care if you back it in, I'm pulling this sucker in. Right? See this guy right here driving it in? We're getting the boat in the water no matter what. Matter of fact, if you look closely at that truck, notice there's a bumper sticker on the back. The guy's a Kentucky fan of all things. Right? It's a UK fan. What in the world? I'm just kidding. Please don't send me emails again. But wow, here's the thing for some of us. We think this is what happens when we get a wild card. And God says, here, I'm going to give you a choice. And some of us would choose, I'm going to do it the way that I want to do it. And you're here today because you screwed something up so bad that you decided to put the car in the water instead of the boat. And for some of you today, you know the pain of that. And for Joseph, he continues. And the Bible says that she made advances at him over and over and over again. And then eventually what happened was there was one particular day. And in the course of that one day, she was realizing that there was this pressure that she put on. The Bible says it this way. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her. And he kept out of her way as much as possible. He avoids this. Now, I know that for some of you, you're thinking, wow, how in the world could this guy avoid? Because Joseph knew that God was with him, and he wanted to make sure that despite the fact of the cards that he had been dealt, he was going to do what he knew he needed to do to please the God that he loved dearly. Scripture tells us that she continued to make advances at him. And then eventually what happened was one day when everybody had left the house, Joseph goes inside the house. She calls him into the bedroom. She's laying there ready for him to receive her. And he runs out of the bedroom and she grabs his robe. And as he's running out, his robe comes off of him. And then what Potiphar's wife does is she does the ultimate frustrating moment. And some of you have been dealt this card. It's the card of injustice. She basically says this, look at this guy. He tried to rape me. What kind of a guy would do this to a woman? And some of you in the room know what it's like to be lied about. Some of us know what it's like when somebody says you have no character or integrity and you did have character and integrity, they just didn't see it that way. Some of you in the room understand what it's like when somebody says to you, you're not good enough, and you tried to do everything you could, and instead somebody stabbed you in the back, and they lied about you. And in the story of Joseph, Immediately, Potiphar comes home and his wife says, look what he did. Potiphar gets mad. And the next thing that we see is the injustice card. Joseph ends up in jail. Listen to what it says. He took Joseph, threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. You know what this is like. And Joseph spends 10 years of his life in this prison for a crime he never committed. The injustice of it. And here's what happens after 10 years. A couple of people who are close to Pharaoh get thrown into prison. A fellow who was a baker and another fellow who took care of tasting the wine before the king would have it so that he could make sure that it was safe for the king. A cupbearer is what they called him. And so Joseph interprets dreams from these individuals. And for the baker, it's not very good, but the cupbearer gets restored back and he's there in the palace with Pharaoh. And Joseph says to him, hey, would you remind Pharaoh, I'm here because of a crime I didn't commit. And to make matters worse, it is 2 more years that he stays in prison. 2 more years that the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. And then one day Pharaoh has this dream and nobody can interpret this dream. And then in the middle of this dream, the cupbearer says, ah, I remember this guy in prison. I remember him. He's the guy. His name is Joseph. We need to bring him up and we need to help him. You know, he's the guy that'll help you to interpret dreams. And so then he gets brought up from prison and the Pharaoh says to him, hey, here's the deal. He says he took Joseph, threw him into prison. Pharaoh says to Joseph, I had a dream last night and no one here can tell me what it means. But I've heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. Now, I don't know about you, but quite honestly, if my life is filled with these cards, I'd be pretty quick to say, yep, I can tell you what that dream is. But Joseph doesn't. Listen to his response. Here's what he says. It's beyond my power to do this. Whoa, 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 bad advice, Joseph. You're going back to prison. No, he follows it up by saying, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. And for those of you who don't know the story, Pharaoh had dreamed these incredible dreams, and basically Joseph says, here's the deal, 7 years of a bumper crop, and then you're gonna have 7 years where there's gonna be famine in the land. And for Joseph, he interprets the dream. And because of the interpretation of the dream, Pharaoh says, okay, we're going to do this. And so they begin to build storehouses and they put this in. And this is the rise of Egypt to becoming a world power in the ancient world. And here's the thing, because for us, we begin to recognize the challenge that takes place for Joseph. And what Joseph realizes in all of this stuff is that if you believe that God is ultimately in charge of your cards, it should change the way you play them. It should change how you play them. And Joseph knew to give God credit in this. And because he gave God credit, 3 things resulted for Joseph towards the end of his life. The first one is this: even the lost notice your God. Even the lost people notice your God. There's a scripture in the book of Genesis that says it best this way. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man? So obviously filled with the last 3 words, everybody out loud, the Spirit of God. Pharaoh, a secular king, recognizes Joseph's God because of who Joseph is and what Joseph did. He recognizes him. The second result is this. It's a principle that Jesus would talk about in the book of Matthew, and it's this. If you're faithful over a little, God will make you faithful over much. It's a principle that Jesus would talk about hundreds of years later, but it's found right here because what we discovered is that Joseph becomes in charge of everything. Joseph leads everything. In the book of Genesis, it says this, Pharaoh said to Joseph, God's revealed the meaning of the dreams to you. No one else is intelligent or as wise as you are. You'll be in charge of my court, of all my people. They'll take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank that is higher than yours. So Joseph's in charge of everything. Well, the 7 years of plentiful happen. Then the famine sets in. And because Egypt is sitting on all the grain and people want food, people start coming to Egypt. And one day Joseph's brothers show up. And this is where Joseph gets another joker his wild card. What would you do in that moment? When you think about the life that you've been dealt, it's because of these guys that you had to deal with dysfunction. Because of these guys, you spent 12 years in a prison. Because of these guys, you had to deal with rejection. Because of these guys, you had to deal with disappointment over and over and over again. You're raised in a foreign land. How in the world would you respond to them? Most of you know the story, because the third result that happens in this moment is that when you believe God's ultimately in charge of your cards, it should change the way you play them, and you seek restoration. And that's exactly what Joseph did. Joseph sought restoration. Last night after the service, I had a gal that came up to me after the service, and she said, a year ago, you were preaching this sermon, and she said, I just want to thank you so much because you told us that we should try to restore relationships with people from our past. And she said, I was everything on that card because of my dad. She said, because of him, I had a life of disappointment. Because of him and relationships with other women, I had a life of dysfunction. Because of him and the things that he did, I felt rejected because he would never come to any of my stuff. And then ultimately, he ended up finding somebody and I felt this injustice and I couldn't get back with my father. And after 10 years of not talking to my dad, I decided that I would seek restoration. And she said, thank you so much because the last 12 months have been incredible. And this past week, I buried my father. And I'm grateful for the fact that we got to spend these last few months together. You see, every one of us in the room are dealt these kind of cards. Ironically, even Joseph's brothers were worried about this. After Joseph's dad died, they were all worried that he's going to renege on this restoration of relationship. A couple of things that show us in the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter, Joseph says, don't be upset or angry with yourself for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. And they're still worried that Joseph's going to turn on them. And they said, God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you today to know that regardless of the hand that you've been dealt, the question is, you get the privilege to be able to play those cards. God may have given you this hand, but it is up to you to decide how you're going to play them. And the question that I ask as we close today is simply this: do you really believe that God's in charge of your cards? And some of us have been spending so much time looking at our cards and saying, this isn't right. And you're asking yourself, how do I deal with this? And the thing that Joseph knew beyond anything else in his world is that God was with him. And he is with you. And the reality for us is to recognize that God dealt us a hand, and the hand that we've been dealt, you get the chance to figure out how you play your cards. And this is where we're going to close out tonight. Because I think for some of you in the room, you know this. Sadly, you've heard the story of Joseph so many times that it means very little to you these days. But here's the problem. Is that because of these cards that have been played in your life, some of you in the room are using phrases like this: I will never love again because he or she said no to me. You felt so much rejection in your world that for you, you're saying, I will never again. For others of you, you're saying, I'm not going to dream again because the last time I dreamed, it led me down a career for 22 years where I was let go when I thought everything was going to turn out right. And now you're saying, I will never dream again. And for others of you, you're realizing this life that you grew up with and you're saying, why would I hope that my life would turn out better? Because look at my parents, look at my brothers and my sisters, look at my aunts and my uncles. Our family's so dysfunctional. Everything around us is surrounded by dysfunction. And you're saying, I'm not going to try this. And I see so many Christian people who for them, they have believed that because they were dealt this hand, they do not hope anymore. And I'm not even going to get started with the injustice card. Because you know the things that they said about you. They weren't true. And the reason that you refuse to hope again is because you, my friend, are afraid. Because you're afraid that if I love again, they'll just reject me again. Look at my grandkids. They just walk away and they don't ever come around to see me. You're afraid that if I try another venture in my job, it's just going to result in a downturn in the economy and I'm going to lose everything anyway because that's what happened last time. You're afraid that if I try to make something work in my family, if I even strive for that, it's just going to work out bad because of the dysfunction of my past and everything that's around me. If I try to get close to somebody and I let another friend in, it's just going to turn out an injustice again. They're going to break my heart and they're going to stab me in the back like my last three friends. And you're making decisions. Not because of the fact that God is with you. You're making decisions because of the fear that's motivating you in your life. And we're going to sing a song, and I want you to hear the message of this song. Fear, my friends, is a liar. It's a liar. It's told you why you don't open yourself up to other people again. Because you're afraid. It's told you why you don't believe that you are who God says you are because you are afraid.